So we'll pause for a moment as Mary and the Trujillo family go into the breakout room. Can you make the goddess go away?
Go away.
And then we'll proceed. Welcome, everybody. It is definitely chilly out there. I'm glad you're here. And Anne Marie and your name is?
Paul
are here as a surprise, so we're grateful for them in the sanctuary with us. All right. So the breakout room has been accomplished. Yes?
Mary, it should be at the bottom of your screen. It should say join. And then that's the Trujillo's as well. So I believe that's where it should let you back into the room.
Okay. All right, we're good to go. Yay. So this evening I wanted to spend a little time on two things. One is Jesus as the Lamb of God. And secondly, what it means to recognize a call. So in John's gospel that we just heard, John identifies Jesus as the Lamb of God. So why is Jesus the Lamb of God? When we say the Lamb of God during Mass, it's Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. So what is it to think about taking away the sin of the world? The sin in this context is not referring to individual transgressions, but rather the collective, fundamental alienation of God from creation. So that sin that we're talking about there means that we're disconnected from God, that up until the time Jesus came, we're feeling separate from God. So God sends Jesus. Jesus says yes. And Jesus is the bridge, the way to God, the door leading to life. So when John says, "Behold the Lamb of God," that word triggers revelation. That means this is new information to you. And we pray for Jesus' mercy, his compassion. We pray for Jesus' peace. So when we hear the world, the word the world, that's creation in its alienated state. So whenever we hear the sins of the world, that means, again, that separated place. And Jesus came to reestablish communion with God, to reverse the estrangement. And Jesus took the divine initiative to come, to take away the sin of the world, the estrangement that we saw. Lamb of God also refers to the reference to the lamb sacrificed in the temple as a sin offering. So this ritual of the lamb was to restore the relationship to God when it's broken, right? They would bring a lamb to the temple, sacrifice it, believing that through that ritual, God and man were reconnected. So to know that Jesus is that lamb, that there's no longer a need to have animal sacrifice, obviously. And lamb is also remembering the blood of the lamb that was put on the doorposts during the Passover, and that God would pass over the people who had that blood on their lintels. So blood on the lamb, the doorposts, blood in the temple of the lamb. Jesus comes to eliminate all of that and say, "I am the bridge. I will restore creation and God's relationship, and for you to know that God loves you always." Excuse me. So when we pray that prayer right before communion, Lamb of God, Jesus, the bridge, you take away the sin, the estrangement of the world, the brokenness. Have compassion on us and bring us peace. So when we say that today, hopefully you'll have a new appreciation of that those words have deep meaning. So Jesus is recognized as the Lamb of God, and John points him out, and the disciples start to follow him and go and say, "Who are you and what are you doing?" And Jesus says, "Come and see." So how do we recognize a call? How do we identify God's call? We identify as human beings call through our senses and through discernment. So when we listen to that first reading, Samuel hadn't learned yet to differentiate the call of God, and maybe that was the first time he heard the call of God. So he's thinking Eli's talking to him. And Eli listened and then was able to say, "I think you're hearing a different voice. It isn't mine." So have we trained ourselves to recognize God through our senses? We might hear God in a dream, in a poem, in the wind through the rustling aspens. How do we affirm that it's God's voice and not another's or my own? Like Samuel, we might consult a trusted one and say, "I think I'm hearing God's voice. Let me tell you about it," and hear what somebody might feed back to us. It's important when we're listening for God's voice to pause and not to act immediately, but rather to test that a bit. We also might see God through another human being, or be led to a person who will grow our faith. We might come and see, like many of you who visit COB, is the presence of God in this space, in this person, in this organization? We might have a nudge in our gut. Our gut is a way of knowing. Again, we might pause and let it settle to be sure it's not our own ego pushing us. We might tune in, feel what that feels like in our body. Several of us within the community have worked on shifting from sympathetic nervous system, which is the fight or flight place, and parasympathetic, which is the place of good judgment and being able to figure out what to do when it's not an emergency. So sometimes someone might feel there, see or hear, or have a gut feeling that God's calling them to do this, and they act immediately. It's better to pause and make sure that we don't feel like there's an emergency, and listen, look, feel. Our hearts might burn within us. Again, wait. When the emotion settles, does the call remain? Sometimes a call from God just makes sense. Our intellect aligns with it, and the data points to this call as a logical next step. That's our mind connecting with. And that's holy too. So we pause and we say, "Is this the voice of God?" God uses all our senses and our ways of knowing to reach us, to love us, to lead us, and to teach us. Our confirmation class was just pondering how we recognize the Spirit in nature, in ourselves, and in relationship. So as our kids are visiting with Mary about this lesson, I'm going to give you three questions to ponder, and then I'm going to invite people to share who feel called to share. So the first question is, what is it about Jesus that makes you want to learn more or to follow him? What is it about Jesus that makes you want to learn more or to follow him? The second question, what spiritual practices help you to come and see and to stay in Jesus' presence? What spiritual practices help you to come and see and to stay in Jesus' presence? And the third one is, what does the Lamb of God show and tell us about God? What does the Lamb of God show and tell us about God? So I'm just going to pause a minute and let you ponder that, and then we'll invite Sherry.
And if anybody's a visual person like me, I did type it for you in the chat, those three questions.
Okay, so the first question, what is it about Jesus that makes you want to learn more or to follow him? And Greg, can you put that in speaker view? You're welcome to just unmute and share what you think. What is it about Jesus that makes you want to learn more or to follow him? We have a bunch of very shy people. I can't hear you. You're muted, Alice.
Linda Adams is raising her hand. Linda?
What makes me want to learn more and follow Jesus is his unconditional love and his unfailing presence in my life.
Thank you, Linda.
For me, it's God's love that brings peace to my heart.
Kate?
Uh-huh.
You got to unmute, Kate.
Yes, the thing that wants me to make and know Jesus better is you guys, because it's with you.
Thank you, Kate.
Ethel, unmute.
Jesus was a revolutionary. He came to turn things upside down, to help us redefine our understanding and our relationship with God. So that's what I find most interesting, this idea that we can have a personal relationship with God and that we need to get out of our comfort zone.
Thank you, Vanessa.
To know Jesus better because of his great love for us and in thankfulness for all the blessings that he gives us in the midst of hardship and turmoil. And if we just always and never forget to listen to his word in our heart.
Thank you, Leanne.
I would say that I want to follow him because I feel like he was the most just and empathetic and kind human being that ever existed. And so that's what I admire about him, and I want to be more like him and more inclusive and loving and accepting.
I'm going to shift us to the second question. What spiritual practices help you to come and see and to stay in Jesus' presence? Hold on 1 second, Jeannie. Go ahead.
I have a centering prayer practice that's a silent contemplation with in a group by myself that brings me closer to Jesus. And I can tell that Jesus is there in a faithful, unconditional love.
Claire Marie says she has a centering prayer practice. I have that same centering prayer practice. In fact, we began 30 years ago together. And so that quiet prayer connects us with Jesus, and we know Jesus is faithful to meet us there. Thank you. Jeannie.
Oh, I was just going to say prayer and being able to talk to him and know that he's listening.
Absolutely. Is there a particular time you pray, Jeannie?
Usually when I'm getting ready for bed.
Yay. Thank you. That's a good time, right? Count our blessings and offer prayers.
Okay. Pray extra hard when we're in the middle of traffic.
Absolutely, Melissa. Thank you. Absolutely. Thank you.
Tammy, did you have your hand raised before?
I did. I have two practices. One is fairly new for me. And I have been doing Bible studies for the last 4 years, and I have now gone through the Bible 4 times. And so I think my understanding of Jesus and my following of Jesus has become so much stronger because of the repeated readings and kind of following the line of the Bible. So I think that's one thing. And then this was more of a survival technique for me, but listening to Christian music. I think so often the song, well, it's most of them are rooted in the Bible, and it just resonates with me. And I feel like God is talking to me through those songs many times to help my recovery or my, you know, feeling down or whatever it is. So those are the two things that I wanted to share.
I was going to say that when I think about the question, for me, it's prayer like everyone else, whether it's a prayer that I say every time before I eat, the more scripted one, or if it is just me talking to God or Jesus on my way to work. But prayer is definitely one. And then I also think being a teacher that my service is an impacts that as well. I do above and beyond the school day to serve my students who are newcomers to the United States and their families because they're struggling or for whatever reason. So I would say prayer and service.
Thank you.
For me, Jesus is tangible, is real. Yeah, I mean, we've seen the things that he had done, the suffering he endured, the how he spoke out for the underserved or the people who were being discriminated against. And while I mean, I do believe in God, God is kind of abstract or I can't really get my hands around that as much. Whereas with Jesus, he was a living person and such an example in terms of how to live our lives. And so For me, it's that was more of a personal connection that I have with Jesus.
Thank you. And the last question, what does the Lamb of God show and tell us about God? So part of what Susan just said answers that question. Anything else anybody wants to add about that? Come here and use the microphone.
Well, I think of the Lamb as being pretty gentle, and I think Jesus was a pretty gentle teacher and guide for all of us and for the disciples. But he was also symbolically the sacrificial Lamb, and perhaps he asks us to make sacrifices too, but kind of in the way that he did and in such a human and yet divine way. But I think that we're called to be like Jesus. And
thank you.
So Mother Kay?
Yes.
I got a message from Cabrini that Mary is having a hard time closing the breakout rooms. And now Cabrini and Kiki appear to be in a breakout room and not with us. So I'm wondering if I should, as host, close all rooms.
Sure.
I'm going to try it. Oh, there's those guys.
Perfect timing if they come out.
Come out, wherever you are. Kiki and Cabrini, I just tried to close all breakout rooms. Oh, it looks like they're back.
Yay!
Yeah, they're back.
It worked. Okay, great. Good.
Thank you.